I saw for those of us who are here, and we pray for those who are missing tonight.
Time that it's just in, mostly we think about them, but there are others, certainly Rosemary, who contacted me before the meeting and asked some question. Lord, we just thank you for those who love you in this city. Mm-hmm. Thank you that you are the one who has given us yourself. And good news, something that is worth being excited about, mm-hmm. something that's worth sharing. Thank you, Jesus, for new life, new purpose, new hope, new goals. Thank you for this thing that we have right in front of my eyes right now. Prepare for a conference here next weekend. Thank you for what's awaiting us and for the privilege that we can house it or be the ones who make it happen. Thank you that you will bless it and bless us now also as we meditate on the word. Bless these thoughts in your name. Amen. Mm-hmm. Pastor Mikael shared from Psalm 23 on Sunday.
And you shared from Psalm 40, the reading for.
Yes.
It's the next one.
And he spoke about valleys, mainly the valley of the shadow of death. And so I wanted to make some comments and then read some other portions from the Bible. Hopefully there will be some kind of structure, but even if there isn't, you just pick those pieces that you like and reject the others that don't speak to you. Hopefully there's something for everyone. But first of all, I was thinking, the Lord is my shepherd, and I am his sheep. And I like that. I would much rather be a shark or a tiger or a horse or another cool animal. Somebody who knows how to fend for themselves, somebody who makes it nicely in this life, a predator who can just go out and grab something to eat and can run fast or something, but we are sheep instead. We can't run fast, we are not very smart, we don't have big teeth or claws. But we have a shepherd, and that was so good that the satisfaction that we find in his life is in the fact that we have a father in heaven, that we have somebody who takes care of us. And whenever we lose this thought, then we get into trouble because we think that we have to make it somehow in this life. And maybe that's something that we have learned as a wisdom of the world or wisdom from our parents. And in some things it applies, some other things it doesn't. You have to take care of yourself because there's nobody who takes care of you. We have a father. And so that was my first thought. The Lord is my shepherd, so that's why I don't have any needs. And he guides me, he leads me. He said he leads me to the green grass and the clear waters. Good food for the soul. And there he makes me lie down. How does he make me lie down? Because he makes me satisfied. Because I have everything I need, and then I can lay down. I have food, I have drink, I have rest, and I have protection. So I can lie down and rest in him. And this is a part of our calling, a very big part of it, that we can rest in him. And then he spoke about the valley. We go through some valleys. And here comes my next interesting thought, because there are valleys. God has made mountains and valleys. God has made the sun and the moon and the stars. The sun to shine, give light during the day, and the moon and the stars during the night. Why did he make both light and darkness, God? There are some good things in this life, and there are some things that are less enjoyable. But my point is this, that He has made them both. And we go through. Sometimes we are on the mountain, but sometimes we are in the valley. And maybe it has to do with the shepherd, that he is the one who leads us. We follow him. He speaks, we know his voice, we follow him wherever he goes. And if he goes through the valley, then we will go through the valley with him. Yeah. And there he sets a table. And that was beautiful. That we find this experience when we fellowship with God, that whatever difficulty we go through, there is something that is absolutely miraculous, I would say, that I can find not just satisfaction, but joy and a feast in the valley of the shadow of death, because he sets the table for me. And another thing I wanted to speak about is that he is our shepherd and we are his sheep, and this is a relationship that does not depend on us. We have not become his sheep because we are so good, and we will not be rejected when we are not so good in our experience. I want to be careful with what I say, but I think that you understand exactly what I'm saying. Somebody said this in Baltimore the convention now, just one sentence which I like. God does not call the qualified people, but he qualifies those who are called. And naturally, I would think that I'm a pretty good person with some capabilities, and I should use them for the glory of God. And so my qualifications, my skills are going to determine what kind of calling God can give me. And then if I fail, hey Chester, then if I fail, I am disqualified and I'm not fit anymore for ministry or anything else. And I just think that it's so surprisingly easy to start thinking along these lines. Maybe it's more difficult for us who have been believers for many, many years or decades. Before we were saved, or when we just got saved, it was very clear that it was about the goodness of God, his grace, his forgiveness, his righteousness that we received as a gift. But as we walk with him, it's easy to start thinking that, oh, it's about my ability, it's about how good I am. It's if I have learned how to be on time, then God can use me. If I have learned good people skills, then I can be used in the ministry. If I am clean and ready, then I can be used. And maybe to some degree that is true also. But I was just thinking about this, that we are sheep and he is a shepherd. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have good experiences on the mountain, and sometimes you go through a valley. And maybe in the valley, I'm not on top. I'm not at my best. I am not living to my full potential in my natural. And I was thinking how the greatest experience that the disciples probably had was the Mountain of Transfiguration. Only three of them, Peter, James, and John, taken by Jesus to the mountain, and he basically they saw him glorified. Some of his glory that he had with the Father became visible for these disciples, and they were standing there, and it felt them, filled them with great excitement, and that was really a mountaintop experience. And why I'm talking about this is because then Peter opens his mouth, and even when I'm on the top, I'm not. He said something, and God himself had to stop his mouth and correct him. It's funny for us to think, but But I'm thinking, yeah, I'm not called because I'm qualified, right? God doesn't love me because I'm such a sharp man, so smart, or always knows what to do, always knows how to relate to people and situations. But he has committed himself, he has bought us with his blood, and he is our shepherd and we are his sheep, and wherever he takes us, we are there with him. And how I react there, what I do, is not really the issue. Peter saw his glory, he had a great experience, and he spoke, he said something. It would be good for us if it would always be like this. Let's stay here, let's never go anywhere else. And the father says, listen to my son instead, what he has to say. And so I think you get what I'm saying, that when I think in my natural mind, I think that I am strong when I feel that I am on top. When I think that things are going my way, and it might even be that I see something in the spiritual realm, something great, God glorifies the Son in front of my eyes, I get the revelation through the Holy Spirit, and in the same moment, I can slip and say or do something very stupid. So this leads me to a portion that I would like to read. And as I said, I'm sorry if there's no red thread for you to follow. But I'm just telling you some thoughts that I have. Isaiah 1, very famous portion, verses 5 and 6, describe the situation of Israel in the eyes of God at the time when this book was written. But we can apply it to ourselves. I think that this is a description of the natural man without God. And he says, why will you be struck down? Why should I punish you anymore? Why will you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there's no soundness in it, but bruises. Bruises and sores and raw wounds, they're not pressed out or bound up or softened with oil. And this is the soul without God, the natural man. And I was reading a Pastor Stephen's booklet about repentance, and this is what he wrote, that as we live our lives, as we go through life, we all gather these bruises and wounds, and we see that the heart is broken and cannot function properly. The head is sick with different thoughts and ideas and experiences and all kinds of things that we receive throughout a lifetime. And why I'm saying this is because the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want, and he leads me, and as I follow him, I still battle with these things. And this was the point that he made in that book, that whatever package we have in our lives, in our soul, follows us where we go. And the only way not to live in it is to rise above and to live in what he has given to us. As soon as I sink down and turn inwards and look into my own soul, this is what I will find. My head that is sick with all the thoughts that I have received, ideas that are not of God, my heart that is not clean. Jeremiah says in chapter 17 that I will find that the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all else. It's not just deceitful, but it's more deceitful than anything. I stand there on the Mount of Transfiguration and I open my mouth and I will say something that I shouldn't. There's no condemnation in it. I'm just thinking how interesting it is, isn't it? Some Christians would like to deny this reality and say, no, once you are born of God, everything is new and there's nothing left of the old. Yes, there's a new man that has nothing to do with the old, but I can default to the old man again, can come back to the surface, and I will see it. And I need to eat from the table that God sets me in the wilderness. And this is the cure. I need to be filled with Him, because in me, in my natural being, there's nothing that would be sound or healthy. So I was just thinking about a few places where we see this. Like here we read, the heart is faint. I told you that the heart is deceitful and wicked in Jeremiah 17. Then in Psalm 73, it says that my flesh and my heart will fail me. And that is also the experience that describes us. When we want to perform for God, when we want to go forward, but my flesh fails me, my best effort, my best intention fails me, and my heart is against me. In 1 John 3, verse 20, it says that even my own heart condemns me. My heart turns against me. And I feel guilty before God. But then he continues and he says, even if my own heart condemns me, God is greater than my heart. And there's no condemnation in him. So let me try to put these thoughts together. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And I just have to come back to this always. Because there are many things that happen to us. Many things that have already happened. Some things before I was saved. I almost said born again. And that have given me bruises and wounds. Some other things that happen along the way. Some of it is because of my own decisions, some of it is because of other people, some of it is just simply because I live in this world, and we receive partly what everybody else in this world. Like I'm thinking about natural evil, like disease, death, all those things that surround us in this world. I cannot live in these things. They dominate my mind. I'm going to go crazy. I will find this, that my whole head is sick and I can't get out of it. My heart is faint. My heart goes against me, actually. And I feel condemned. I don't even think that I should come close to God. But He is my shepherd. And I have to identify myself. When I say I have to, I think you understand what I mean. We know that He is the good shepherd. He has called us, He has taken us. When we were astray, He came after us, and now He has gathered us, and we can walk with Him, and we have this precious privilege. Mm-hmm. And so there is this simplicity in this psalm, Psalm 23, that I'm satisfied in that place where I know that He is my shepherd, and He takes care of me. My only job is to follow Him, hear His voice, and come where He leads me. And it will be to green pastures, fresh water, and rest. And sometimes He goes to the valley, but He's always there also, and prepares the table. And then the closing verses of that song, just wait for the truck. Is a confession about assurance that I know for sure that your goodness and your mercy will follow every day of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I guess the Bible speaks about a childlike attitude, a childlike mind, which describes this as a sheep. We don't need to be so complicated. I don't need to dive into the complexities of my own soul, for example, to try to figure out what happened when and why I am the way I am, and what bruises are there and wounds and who did it and what would be the solution. The solution is much more simple, and this could be a whole other message, and that's surrender to Christ in his beautiful work, that he was bruised and he was killed for me and everything that I carry inside me. And I have resurrected and have his life. But just, you know, he is my shepherd and I follow. It's amazing, like, how easily these things come. I have had a very bad day at work, I should say, if I would think on those terms. Many things just went wrong, and my customers started to blame me at work. I returned somebody's bag that they left somewhere, and they wanted to blame me for losing their bag. And I just started, you know, I could work myself up and be very angry about this. But it's so good to be childlike in a way and just think, I'm just a sheep. I don't need to have, you know, big thoughts. I need one thing, to know that God is good to me. And let's see where he goes. What do I need? Green grass, fresh water, a place to lay down. Maybe it's easy for a man. I don't know if it's easier for men than for women. A relationship, a good shepherd who loves me. And that, it's not any more complicated, this is what I'm trying to say. When I start going in some thoughts and thinking, why this happened, why that happened, what I should have said, why didn't I say that, and I need to grow as a person and develop. And maybe some of these things, if God willing, will take place in my life. But how about this? The Lord is my shepherd. Is that enough? I think it is. A childlike faith, a simplicity in walking with him in a relationship. This is what we were called to. Peace. We were called to peace, not to struggle. Right? I could just go on and on, because the most difficult things I think that we experience, those that bother us the most are things that happen within the church, the people that we love very much, and we cannot avoid these things. So what do I need to know? God is my shepherd, he will provide for me. My wounds and my bruises, they are always there. My sick mind also, my heart that goes against me, but he is my shepherd. And we stand up, we get up all the time when I fall. Peter is in the Mount of Transfiguration, and he says, it's good for us to be here. Let's build 3 tents and stay here. And God says, listen to my son instead. And Peter could think, oh, how stupid I am. Why did I have to speak? I'm so ashamed now that when we go down from here, I'm just going to run off and preferably not to meet these two who have been here, and I'm sure that they will tell everybody else. So I'm just going to go somewhere else and start or continue with my own life or whatever. But we can get up, stand up, rebound, as Pastor Stevens was saying. Have an ability not to stay or think about these things. Wounds and bruises in the soul, maybe. But we have a shepherd. Green grass, fresh water, and a place to lie down. Protection with a rod and a staff. What else? A set table, even in the sight of my enemies. And by the way, it's the enemy who wants us to be focused on ourselves. When he shoots, these arrows or bullets are many times condemnation. about what we did, what we didn't do, what we should have done. And God just sets a table and says, don't look at yourself, look at what I have for you. It's not because you deserve it. When was it ever about what you deserve? It's because I want to bless you. Here's the table, everything you want, whatever you want. Take it, eat. And so this is the point that I always share with someone who needs to hear this a lot. I'm not looking at any of you. Do we want to be like Christ? Do we expect to change? Okay, this is what he speaks about a lot. Yes. Receive from him. Let him give us. And when we are receiving his grace, his beautiful gifts, without any condition, that grace is the only thing that can change me. If there's anything that will change me. See him in his beauty, in his glory. That is what changes me. Not because I come up with some kind of program, not because I start patching up my wounds in my wounded soul and I think that I can fix it somehow. I need something better, and there is something better. And that's that I have fellowship with him and I can just be like a sheep. So should we finish here?
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Mika, who was also a shepherd here on the earth. I thank you for his personal care for me, that he was there when I needed help. And we pray for him at this time also. It was good to speak or hear him on the phone. We pray for his time with his mother. Really, we pray for this whole situation there. Thank you that you have given grace. Lord, we thank you for all of us who are here. You know what we need. It's a realization to understand that we are just sheep. Thank you that we don't have to be lions or wolves or anything, some successful predator or something. Because we have a shepherd, a good one who loves us. Thank you, Jesus. Teach us to have confidence in it, to rest in your love, not to think about our own worth, our own performance, what we deserve and what we don't. Lord, help us to realize our mistakes and our failures, our sins, confess them and move on. Receive from the table that you have set for us. Thank you, God, that there's lots and lots of grace with you. Grace that never runs out. Lord, we thank you once again for the conference that's coming up. Bless us. Give us capacity to serve and to receive, to enjoy, to listen, and also to communicate what you have given to us, whatever it is, putting up somebody at home or cooking a meal for 50 people or doing the sound or whatever it might be. We ask that you would anoint us, give us great patience, great organization. Reveal to us those issues which are still open, God, that there would be no holes, no big hiccups in anything that we have planned. Bless the guests who are coming in, Lord, from India, from Finland, and Malmö, and other places. Give us some surprise visitors also. Thank you, Jesus. Any personal requests? Or?
We can pray for him.
Yes.
You thinking about my allergy or?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. It could be, I mean, I had that, yeah, so.
Could be helpful to mix about some cold, something there.
Mix,
yeah.